It's 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Game time in Buffalo. CBS's Bradley Blackburn is there.
The Buffalo Bills are hoping to win today's home game for their safety, DeMar Hamlin. Fans say with Hamlin still recovering in the hospital, it'll be a game like no other.
Going to be different from any game I've ever been to. Been coming to football games for 25 years.
DeMar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest during Monday night's game. President Biden and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas are heading to El Paso, Texas, to view conditions at the southern border. Reporter Chris Fox.
Overrun shelters have resulted in migrants sleeping on the streets in tents and buses in downtown El Paso. Fernando Garcia is the executive director of the Border Network for Human Rights.
Yes, it's the Republicans, but also the Democrats, that they have done not enough to actually uplift the call for immigration reform.
President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas will meet with local officials, faith leaders, and non-governmental organizations that have supported migrants. They'll also review enforcement operations at the busiest port in El Paso and tour a migrant services center. Chris Fox for CBS News, El Paso, Texas.
After several ballots over multiple days, Kevin McCarthy has been elected Speaker of the House. North Carolina Republican Dan Bishop on NBC rejects the idea that this was GOP dysfunction.
We've had an opportunity to take a hard look at each other in the Republican conference over the course of this past week. Folks in the media constantly said, oh, it's dysfunction and chaos. No, it was deciding the most important questions about how this Congress is going to proceed, and we accomplished an enormous amount.
Torrential downpours, down trees and power lines and mudslides. It's all too much for many Californians. KOVR-TV's Laura Hayfully reports from Sacramento.
One client just came in and was expressing that since she's lived here, she's never seen anything to this extent, and she's just not sure where to even start for her recovery.
Red Cross volunteer Barbara Watson tells CBS 15 people are seeking refuge at the Wackford Community Center in Elk Grove.
What are people who are staying with you going through right now?
You know, we're not used to losing our homes, and so not knowing how long it's going to take to get back to their homes. So there's lots of depression, anxiety.
More rain is on its way. Iran has executed two young men convicted of murdering a paramilitary force member during an anti-government protest. The BBC's Shelley Phelps.
Hamid Mahdi Karami and Syed Mohammed Husseini had appealed their sentences, saying they'd been tortured into making false confessions. Their deaths bring the total number of protesters known to have been executed in the aftermath of the unrest to four.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a quote today.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Olivia, from Washington. laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna, from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha, from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 26. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows dip down to about 15. 29 tomorrow, mainly cloudy. High of 32 Tuesday under overcast skies. 36 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Another summer day has come and gone away from Paris and Rome. But I wanna go home.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So I think sometimes when we think about affordable housing, which is a problem everywhere, it's everywhere across the state right now. Certainly, I think sometimes, though, the association goes with urban areas, but that is not true. I've talked to people in Appleton and Green Bay, and certainly here in Waukesha, having enough affordable housing for people to live in is an issue that affects communities all over Wisconsin. And so here to talk about some of the projects that are happening and the mission of Habitat for Humanity is the Director of Development and Marketing for Habitat of Humanity of Waukesha County, Brett Poloquin.
Nailed it. You nailed it.
So welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's always a great opportunity to be able to share our mission, especially over, you know, the airwaves where, you know, people from all over the place are listening.
So. Absolutely. So I know, I've always known that Habitat for Humanity also works within the U.S., mm-hmm. but I feel like first the assumption for a lot of people when they first, their first association with Habitat for Humanity is building houses in, like when Haiti got hit by the terrible hurricane earthquake back in 2005. How long ago was that? Was a while ago. But has it always, did it start abroad and then come to the U.S., or has it always been an international program or organization that has local chapters everywhere?
So it started here in the U.S., okay. Started in Georgia. There was a small kind of commune farm where they built affordable housing there. And, you know, people kind of just collaborated to build homegrown houses, you know, right on that property. And then it, you know, kind of spread throughout the United States. And then, yes, it did expand internationally. And I would agree with you. People do kind of associate that with us a lot of the time. But, you know, we're just as prolific within the United States, especially, as you said, in urban communities, but also in what I would call, you know, Waukesha County is sort of an urban-rural mixture.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
We don't necessarily have, cities everywhere, but in some farmsteads and things like that. But affordable housing is an equal issue across both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so what would you say, besides maybe that assumption, but what else would surprise people about Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah, a couple things. For one, you know, I think people assume that we're all kind of working together. And we are working together to an extent, but we do kind of cover a service area. So, you know, Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County covers exactly that, Waukesha County. You know, all the fundraising we do goes directly back into Waukesha County. We're not really, paying the big habitat in the sky, short of just some administrative fees and stuff like that. But it allows us to, understand the community that we work in and really dramatically apply unique solutions to that community, as opposed to kind of just some kind of general, habitat branded, we're going to build a house and be done.
And so, because what I think is really interesting is that was back end of August, you guys broke ground on a new subdivision.
Yep.
That is going to be, how many units ultimately will there be in there?
There'll be 20 units there.
And so, I think living in Milwaukee, I feel like you throw a stone in any of the given neighborhoods and there's some new luxury apartment building that some developer is developing. And, they look very nice. The new timber building, the Ascent building's very beautiful. But what does it look like with negotiating with the city and working with the city to compete with those kinds of developers? Like, this is needed. We have a population that can't afford those. So we need to be able to build this kind of community, subdivision, housing. And is there a competition with more capitalist developers? Or is there land that is specifically held for programs like Habitat to be able to build housing that is necessary? Or what does that process look like?
Sure. So here in Waukesha County, we work very, very collaboratively with the city and the county. In fact, I would refer to them as probably our biggest advocates. They're constantly hunting out opportunities for us to, put down, more and more affordable housing units. There is definitely competition with some of our for-profit builders. But at the same time, for-profit building can find areas like where Dominica Park is at tremendously difficult to make profitable. So the interest there is, sometimes we have to kind of find those, I don't want to, say they're bad plots of land, but like the ones that aren't necessarily going to work out for a for-profit builder. And so, we're very fortunate to have that opportunity come with Dominica Park. And I think there's more opportunities here in Waukesha County for those types of things. But it has to be a collaborative effort.
So. Absolutely. And so speaking more about this big project, because I'm assuming this is the big project for you guys right now.
It sure is.
And so when is it expected to be done?
So we'll be working on it for the next three to 4 years. I think we kind of anticipate finishing it in 2026, possibly early 2026.
And then how, for the people who end up living in a house built by Habitat, what is the criteria? What would surprise us about the people who end up living in the houses that get built or homes that get built?
Sure. So something that I would say characterizes a lot of our homeowners is, they sit inside of this sort of middle ground of 30% to 80% of the area in median income. So that's oftentimes referred to in surveys as ALICE, which is asset limited, income constrained, but employed. So these are people who they're fulfilling all of the societal obligations that we kind of associate, that our parents did and allowed them to purchase a house or have a car loan or those types of things. But these people are inside of that 30% to 80% area median income, and they, simply can't qualify for an affordable home loan, or, simply there's no affordable housing there. The average single family home here in Waukesha County runs for about $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
But even based on the area median income, $250,000 is what's considered affordable. That being, 30% or less of their yearly income. So people aren't even coming close to $400,000.
Yeah.
In that realm. These people are extremely hardworking. Like I said, they're kind of, they're regular everyday members of the community. These are not like, homeless or destitute people. They are the person that sits next to you at the office in some cases. And we're simply, providing a hand up to them so that they have that opportunity for home ownership that, I think is escaping us in terms of, looking at the American dream. So,
and Brett, they have to put sweat equity into this project too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They put about 200 hours of sweat equity into building their house themselves. You know, and that goes a long way in terms of that pride of knowing that I, you know, helped. Because how many of us can say that we, you know, helped build our home?
Nope.
I mean, I know I certainly feel that way now with some of the maintenance I do on it. But but at the end of the day, to know that, you know, you quite literally put the studs in the walls and the drywall up. Yeah, that goes a long way with pride as well as a deeper understanding of, you know, what goes into building a house and what goes into, you know, the hard work that volunteers are putting forward for you. So,
absolutely. And so shifting gears a little bit, how does Restore work? Because that's a separate than actually building the houses, right?
Sure. You're talking about the Restore look?
Restore, yes, sorry. Yes. No, Restore, okay. Restore.
Yeah, so we have this excellent store location where we kind of take in donated merchandise. And, you know, I would refer to us as kind of like a, you know, a thrifty Home Depot.
Okay.
There's some free branding for Home Depot.
Sponsor us.
So, you know, people kind of bring their, you know, home improvement supplies that they might have left over in their garage for things. Or we get a lot of appliances and furniture, and they're, you know, they're marked down at a steep, steep discount. And then there's sales on top of that. And so, you know, on top of providing affordable housing, I would like to say that we're, you know, providing affordable, you know, home improvement solutions as well.
If you're someone who wants to donate, mm-hmm. what, you know, because sometimes we hear about Goodwill, like what they will or will not take. So what's kind of the threshold as far as being used? Obviously, it still has to work, but what kind of stuff do you guys take?
Yeah, so, you know, gently used is kind of our criteria. We don't want any rips, tears, or stains in things. You know, nothing that's going to affect its performance, like you said. And then oftentimes with like building materials, if it's only a small quantity, it's usually probably not worth, you know, throwing on a shelf in there. I don't know what I would do with like 3 or 4 tiles, you know, so.
an art project?
Yeah, an art project, which we do get some customers like that. So, but I'm not encouraging people to bring us their loose tile.
But what, I mean, what about Brett? I mean, I have tools from my father that are still really good working tools. Do you take stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, in fact, I would say kind of our tool and hardware section is sort of a hidden gem in a lot of ways where, you know, we get a lot of general contractors who come in or, you know, kind of even the hobbyists and crafty people who come in and they'll find, you know, incredible stuff that's from like 1920. In fact, you know, this is not tools or hardware, but we did receive like a phonograph one day and I was just like blown away. We literally cranked it to play and it played like the Army theme song or something like that.
Oh, that's so cool. The
real Army theme song, not the one from the commercial. So,
so then last question, and we only have about a minute left, but if people want to volunteer, do they just need a hammer? But like, what do you look for when you need volunteers to come help out?
Yeah, you know, we look for a lot of different, we look for people kind of all different shapes and sizes and skill sets. You know, the Restore needs volunteers as well. Our construction volunteers, people come from their kind of one-time, unskilled volunteers who we can teach to do something pretty, you know, quickly within 30 or 40 minutes to, you know, we have some retired folks who, you know, spent 20 years with We Energies and they're able to wire a whole house.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, somewhere between there.
Yeah.
You go to our website and, you know, ask to, you know, sign up and we'll get you
get more information. HabitatWaukesha.org.
Yep.
All right. Brett Paloquin. Paloquin. Sorry. See, we talked about this at the break. Brett Paloquin, Director of Development and Marketing for Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take another break. Stay with us.
I'll be home tonight. I'm coming back home.
Wow. What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay. Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jay Metnair and Greg Bach, because it's Wednesday.
Wednesday!
Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. So what, feel free to answer this question, 844-967-2789. What Christmas song would you love to never have to hear again? And how much would you be willing to pay to not hear it? Greg, you go first.
I love them all.
Really? There's not one that you're just ugh.
No, honestly, because like I could listen to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You every day. And I did for the past couple weeks. And I still love this song. So
it's catchy.
It's so catchy and beautiful. I love the cover versions of it. I love Christmas music a lot, especially non-traditional Christmas music. Like I was rocking George Strait's Christmas country records.
We've played the winner from last week a lot. What was it called?
It is Old Santa Done Got a Taste of Lambo from Casey Williams.
Jane really
I really love that song.
Yeah, good song. Good.
I think JR really appreciated it yesterday. Jane, do you have one that you would just love to never have to hear again?
The one that I used for the bumper music.
Oh, you hate that one?
I hate that song.
I've never heard that until today.
Oh, it's been around for decades, Greg. And there's just a quality to her. I think it's Dana Peavy is the artist that irritates me to no end.
She's got that, that nasally kind of thing going on that makes me crazy.
So if someone else sang it, do you think you'd like it more?
No, it's still a stupid song about a hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus for Christmas. That's my time. And nothing else will do.
If we could do a blues version of it, Greg.
I'll make that happen.
That I could get on board with.
I can make that happen.
All right, challenge?
Challenge accepted.
All right. Well, I bring this up because there's a couple in, I think it's out east. I don't know exactly where they live. But they, Tomas Mazzetti and his wife Hannah, have raised more than $62,000 to buy the rights to Wham's Last Christmas so that they can take it off the air for good. They've raised $62,000 because they never want to hear this song again. Instead of like refurnishing their home or buying a car. So many other things you could do. But the fact that they raised it makes me think that there's other people who are on board with this or donating to the cause. But I don't, is Last Christmas that bad?
No.
Greg's upset.
That's okay. First of all,
think about it.
George Michael, Treasure, Wham, amazing group, great pop music. That song is so good. I love that song. In fact, it's my top five favorite Christmas songs. The fact that these two humans want to do something so, first of all, okay, that like this is what you said. You have that kind of time on your hands. You're like, I want to raise some money so I can like make people unhappy. Because people love that song. You don't like it? Turn the radio off. That's so awful.
Press skip.
Yes.
Alexa, press. Next.
Exactly.
Very
There's
easy.
There's so many options. Would you do this? I don't like these people.
And I have to say, having worked in music radio for many, many decades, 62,000 isn't going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, how much... I feel like that's a pretty popular song, and yeah. That's also how these guys, I would assume Wham is still paying their bills, is just off of that song. Maybe not. You probably know more than I do. But
George Michael's dead, so.
Well, who's making the money off this song then when they play it?
Well, if they wrote the song, they're getting some of the publishing rights. So people, whomever, so the record label's making money off of it, the producer's making money off of it, and the people who wrote the song are making money off of it. So essentially what you're saying is, I want to take money out of the hands of people who are doing their job. Because I don't like this song. It makes my heart hurt. Ugh. I bet you they call people snowflakes on Twitter.
Well, I think that they're not... This could be a key to it, too. Because the way this started was her hatred, her being Hannah the wife, started in 1884.
Wait, what?
1984.
1984, sorry. 1984.
Oh, she's old.
So, and... She was working in a cafe in Oxford, England, and she was studying English, which makes me think English is not her first language.
Okay.
So maybe she just doesn't get it.
Well,
maybe she doesn't get, like, it's because it's, like, uniquely American. But I think you're right. I'm anti this happening because, again, what else could you do with $62,000? Also, is that even enough money to get this off the air? And also... Is it that bad? I'm trying to think if there's any song that I'd be like, yep, I'd never, ever want to hear this again, that this is worth my time and effort.
There are definitely songs that when I hear them, I turn them off. In fact, Jane played one of them today. There are songs that I turn them off.
Which song was it?
Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz. Don't never need to hear that song again. It was played. Hey, don't look at me like that, Jane. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying I remember when that song was played like five times a day. I've heard it enough. I'm good. I'm talking to Jane right now. Am I trying to buy the rights to it? No, I'm not. I just turn it off. I'm fine with it. Enter Sandman and Metallica. One of my favorite bands on earth. I can't listen to that song anymore.
I love Lenny Kravitz.
That's great. I love that you love Lenny Kravitz, too.
And he would love me if he ever met me.
I'm sure he would.
Who doesn't love you, Jane?
Yeah. Oh, I can name a few former coworkers, but we don't have time for that.
We don't have time for that. Speaking of bird songs, I do think I could go forever without ever hearing the Nelly Furtado. I'm like a bird.
Yeah. I want to fly away.
Yeah. I mean, you hear it, you turn it off, you skip it. You take it off your playlist. There are many ways of not hearing songs you don't like. None of them require you to raise a paltry amount of money in the eyes of like the music industry. By the way, George Michael wrote that song himself. So yeah, the estate of George Michael still making money. Take that, the Mazzettis. And most likely, I bet you $50. If I look hard enough, I bet you any amount of money he when he was alive, he donated that money to some cause.
Well, we're going to go to break, so maybe you can Google it, and when we come back, you can tell us the answer.
I'm going to listen to Last Christmas while I'm doing it.
Maybe Jane has it queued up for the break.
Oh my gosh,
Jane?
No, she doesn't.
All right, missed opportunity. All right, well, we are going to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to see in this age range of generational gaps between the four of us. Brooklyn's going to join us. Which of these viral moments we remember or don't remember? Play along with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
From
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge-watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at SeizeTheAwkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 26. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows dip down to about 15. 29 tomorrow, mainly cloudy. High of 32, Tuesday, under overcast skies. 36, Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. If you miss any part of today's show, And why would you ever miss any part of it? Why do you not dedicate 3 hours of your day every day listening to this?
What, do you have a life? Come on.
But
I feel attacked right now.
I know. Don't get me, my mom did. I asked my mom while I was home. I was like, how much of my show every day do you think you listen to? And she said she's good for certainly an hour.
Yeah.
Two at most. She's like, I rarely can listen to the whole thing. I have things to do.
Well, shout
like,
out to fair. Mrs. Bry for listening to the most important day of the week. It's Wednesday.
That's
when,
true.
When I'm here.
Greg Bach, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Again, if you miss any part of today's show, though, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can also subscribe so you always get it to your Apple or your Spotify. And when there's
your
new
Google,
your Googles. And so when there's a new episode, which is daily, and then we do a best of on the weekends, and we post the individual interviews, we have a lot of content. You can do that on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. All right. Well, we're going to get to some headlines that caught our eye. And this first one, I think is... It's not... I would say it's interesting, but it's not necessarily substantial because it's all just words for now.
As most things are.
No, sometimes there's action that is backed up by the words, but sometimes it's like, this is what we're planning to do, and you know, we'll see if it actually happens. But you brought this to my attention, and we've talked about this before. The state Republican Party has elected a new chairman, mm-hmm. Brian Schimming, who is a very long-standing political activist for the Republican Party. He was in, I think, Tommy Thompson's campaign or was in his administration at one point or another. But I don't think this was the day you were here, but the Cap Times opinion board wrote a very hopeful op-ed saying because of kind of his longstanding and being that kind of Tommy Thompson era Republican, maybe he can hone in or rein in the extremism and some of the more, I don't know if it's like culture war stuff that's not necessarily good. It's good for the base, but it's not good for Wisconsin. And you can see that reflected in statewide races. Republicans have not necessarily been winning. And you found this article from Bill Glauber, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying that he's basically, so far, he being Brian Schimming, is saying that's kind of what he's thinking. That's his train of thought.
The quote that's in the first paragraph of the story, he says, "I'm not coming over here to milk sacred cows," which I think is a very telling thing, because I think right now, as far as Republicans go, that very much is true. There is these topics that you either are for or against. That's it. There's no gray area. There's no anything. It's you are either for or against. And if you are against it and is with us, you are with us. If you, you know, if you even say like, well, I believe I have some pro-choice leanings, get out of our party. You know, like it's, I think it sounds like what he wants to do. And I'm hoping, like, as you said, they're words right now. They're not actions at this point, is take that Republican Party and bring it back to somewhere towards the center, somewhere towards, you know, workability, compromise. Now, he can do that all he wants. I mean, he only has so much power with the party itself. He can't tell lawmakers in Madison what to do. I mean, he can suggest, he can say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. And they're like, yeah, that's great, cool. I'm going to go ahead and keep saying that January 6th was a patriotic act and the election was stolen. But it seems like this guy wants to bring it back to a more level-headed area,
which would be
absolutely great. I mean, I would love to see that, but something you hear every single time people talk about politics is there's no compromise, there's no talking, so much fighting, and that's not untrue, but what are we going to do about it? And if this is what he wants to do, if this is what Brian wants to do, I mean, I think that's great. Seems like he's got a lot of influence amongst the party, both locally, statewide, and nationally, which is great. He's got respectability. But at the end of the day, how much power can he really have if, you know, the overall census is, you know, we want to keep doing what we're doing and keep going further if we have to.
Do you think that's the census?
I don't think so, honestly. I think if one thing we've learned from the 2022 midterms is I think that Republicans, and I'm not a Republican, and if there are any listening right now, please let us know, because if you're listening to this show, I have to imagine that you, unless you're hate listening right now, but
that's not true. I sometimes get comments. I actually got a Merry Christmas from someone as a DM on Instagram. I can't think of his name right now. That he says, you're my favorite liberal
oh, that's great.
account to follow.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, like, I'm more conservative, but I appreciate your... So we have some conservative listeners.
So that's so. I think after the 2022 election, the midterms, I think one thing we've really learned here is that there is some burnout. That there is, I mean, you can only fly that flag for so long where you're getting burnt out yourself. You only have so much time in the day. And at one point, you got to come back to the base ideas, not just the base itself, but the base ideas. Like, what are we for? We're for smaller government, limited taxes, more freedom. And I'm not saying that as a joke either. Like, these are the things that, you know, mostly, like, I am pro-life, but I'm also not a monster. Can we get back to that? Can we get back to talking? Can we get back to compromise? Is there a chance? If that's what you want, that sounds great. And if that's what Brian can bring to that party, I think that's going to be helpful for this state.
I agree.
Especially in terms of things like education. When you got Governor Evers wanting to propose a $2 billion education plan in the new year, can he get on board and say, hey, there are good points to this package, instead of having people saying, nope, sorry, nope, we're not going to do it because it's a liberal spending thing. It's like, no, there's some good things in there. Okay, let's try to make it work.
Because I also feel like and maybe I'm making this up, but I think I saw it in WisPolitics yesterday that even Robin Voss is kind of, it was an interview that he, like, what hill he's going to die on for certain stuff when it comes, I think, yeah, for the flat tax, because I feel like that's starting, and that would be a good person to get it. We could get maybe someone from Wisconsin Policy Forum to explain the pros and cons of a flat tax, because as far as I understand, it is something that certainly really only benefits the wealthy.
Yeah.
And, but it sounds like he doesn't think that there's going to be much action on an abortion bill before the spring election, but also that he's not going to die on the hill for a flat tax. And so I think it'll be interesting now that they have Evers for another 4 years. He also said, I think in the same interview, that it wouldn't really make much sense to reintroduce the bills that Evers vetoed last time. So potentially maybe we're moving into a world that's a little bit more compromising to actually get things moving forward and done, instead of just calculating in a way that doesn't give either side. It's like no one can have a win. Yeah. So everybody loses.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope so. I really do. But I also do think that at the end of the day, you also need to elect good, good leaders into the offices. I mean, I have a lot of opinions on Robin Voss.
I know you do.
And
be nice.
But based on his previous time in office, I don't see that happening on his watch. Mm-hmm. Just because he is who he is. He's built this empire for himself, fine. If you could get a more level-headed, more workable Republican in that district to run, which will never happen, He won this primary. He didn't win it by a lot, which says something. It says something a lot that he didn't win by a massive landslide in the primary. But if you can get someone who's going to come in and say, like, I want to work with the Democrats. I want to work with the governor. I want to make things happen. I'm not here to just say no. I'm not here to red stamp everything that comes across the way and gavel out special meetings in 12 seconds. That would make me happy. That would make me very excited. That's something that where it's like, oh, I wouldn't be upset for my family voting for this person. But we have who we have in medicine, so.
I do think, though, and Kristen and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Greg.
I'm Greg.
I think Greg's coming up later. I think there must have been some amount of shaming and calling these people to actually get them to do anything. And I'm looking at the example of Fred Bad Cottage Cheese Pren stepping down from the National DNR. You know, your expiration date is 2 years old. Get out of here.
And I feel like you just wanted to bring that topic up again.
It makes me happy. But I do think that they must have heard from enough constituents. It's like, enough is enough. You guys haven't done anything.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, I'm going back to Robin Voss and actually, I'm not going to praise him, but this whole thing with the investigation into January 6th, or I'm not January 6th, the election.
The election, the Gableman.
The fact that he kind of just said, like, I'm washing my hands of this. We're done. Like, he's not, I think that says a lot, that he might not be like, hey, I want to work with liberals, but he's like, hey, we need to move forward.
Like, this isn't getting us anywhere.
This is nothing. We spent so much money on this and it's gotten us nothing. It is nothing.
Well, and to go back to what you said, Jane, tomorrow, Susan Yackey from the La Follette School of public affairs. I always forget if it's public affairs or public administration at UW, is going to be on because she was part of the Main Street Agenda project, which it was WPR, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and La Follette School. And they had a survey that I think like a couple thousand people in Wisconsin took, but then they also had in-person town halls. And one of the big takeaways from that, there's a lot of different takeaways, but one of the big takeaways was, especially when you get in person, people would sit on stage and they'd have very different opinions because this is Wisconsin and it is a 50-50 state. Mm-hmm. And not only could they sit on stage and disagree, but they actually enjoyed having the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, and one of the big takeaways is people are sick of the fighting. They're sick of things not getting done. They're sick of in the election cycles. This isn't just Wisconsin. This is what they found, that in the election cycles, they were talking about issues that don't really matter because they're, you know, they like stuff that riles people up, but it actually isn't what's affecting their lives. And so I think that is true. But again, it goes back to the common theme of you only have two choices and they only have to make the other guys look so much worse than you. That's the system that we live in. And yeah. So we all want it to be a little bit more compromising and productive while still advocating for the policy that you think is best or prioritizing the things that you think are the biggest problems to be solved. But sheesh, yeah, this like divide and conquer. And as long as we get one more vote than you, we're just going to ram in our agenda. It just doesn't feel like it's representative for a state that like ultimately like you got to try to serve everyone. And also, ideally.
And at the end of the day, it's a plan that's not working. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. I think one of the things in the, cause I've seen this in other, I've seen Republican operatives being interviewed on other shows. And they mentioned this in the article too, is one of the things that Republicans really need to do is embrace the early voting.
Mm-hmm.
They spend so much time and money demonizing it, making it seem like it is the greatest national threat around, when in fact it wasn't. And people voted and in mass numbers early. And that's something that there's no reason why they can't embrace. There's nothing wrong with it. And I'm wondering if that message starts to make its way between now and the presidential in 2024, will you see the bags coming up off of those ballot boxes? Will you see a little more engagement from people and just saying like, oh, it's early voting. I'm going to mail in my ballot, or maybe we can even pass a law that says, hey, when you're 18, you're automatically registered to vote and everybody gets a ballot. It's not a threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a threat unless you think, oh, people would do that. It's just liberals. That's wrong.
Yeah.
If you're given the opportunity to be easy and to be fast, people are going to take those and they're going to vote for whomever. So yeah, I'm hoping that maybe this will be a move towards leaning back and loosening some of those restrictive voting laws we saw happening all over the country in lieu of 2020, which was just, I mean, insulting as an American citizen to see happen.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I feel like as I'm trying to do a roundup for tomorrow, because it feels at an opportune time since we will not have a rerun on Friday, but trying to do different 22 roundup, both national stories and also Wisconsin stories. And certainly, I think there's an argument to me that one of the main Wisconsin stories was all of this election stuff 2 years later. And so we will see what that happens. Well, that took... that's the only headline we even got to.
That was the only thing that happened.
That's the only thing that happened in this country.
Joe Biden took a week off. He's sleeping right now. That wasn't a sleepy Joe joke. That was just, he's taking a rest. He's the president. You got to rest up.
All right. Well, when we come back, a different kind of chess update.
Oh, no.
It's not what you think it is.
Oh, God.
It's actually a happy one. Oh, and yay. It has nothing to do with sex toys.
Oh, well, bummer.
How's that for a tease? All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us. Look very carefully, it may be you.
The energy call today was used to mean as you love the church. The Archbishop is waving to the crowd. We'll have to wait and see. I'll call you back later.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling.
Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a text. Give us a call. Do we have a text?
We do have a text. We were talking a little bit last couple minutes about Robin Voss and the Republican legislature and whether or not they're actually going to get anything done this year. Texter from the 608 checking in. I'm not sure I'd give Robin Voss much credit for acting reasonable. I just think he knows election denial and game playing is a loser with a lot of voters, especially as we look ahead to the Supreme Court election.
Honestly, that's a win-win, right? If it's proven, if that's what forces him to be more reasonable or come to the table and compromise and negotiate, because like just putting your foot down and refusing to even, and I understand that it potentially goes both ways. When that came out earlier this year that they hadn't talked, Evers' office and LeMahieu and Voss hadn't talked in months, maybe even over a year. And I don't know who's... I'm sure there's a little bit on both sides of stubbornness and stuff like that, but that's unacceptable to not do the leaders of one party and the leaders of the legislature to just not talk to the governor because they can't, or they just like refuse to.
You
like,
hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
It was back as like it can be seen as a point of weakness. I met with a friend a long time ago and he said, this is back in DC. They said, you know, the congressmen don't talk to each other. The only people who talk to each other are the people behind the scenes because they can, because they won't get judged for doing it because it comes out, oh, so-and-so talked to so-and-so. Why are they doing that? They shouldn't have to talk to screw them. You know, it's just seen as a path of weakness. And I mean, give credit to Robin Voss. Don't give credit to Robin Voss. He crunched the numbers and he did what was in his best interest. And it just so happens to be something that can work for everyone else. So I will give him half credit.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a more fun headline. So if you've been listening to this program, when did you start? I feel like this dates
December 12th, 1977.
Yes, there you go.
This goes back a ways.
Was this maybe even August? Was this before my wedding?
I think it was
Yes. Definitely before your wedding.
So the chess scandal that rocked the chess world, we were keeping close tabs on that throughout.
For like 4 weeks.
Longer than that, I think. There was just constant updates. But this is another chess update that has nothing to do with that scandal, but is just a feel-good story that I wanted to highlight for no other reason, just because we talk about chess in the show and because I think it's a really good story. But there is his name's Tani Adewumi. Hopefully I said that right. He's Nigerian. But he rose to sudden stardom at the age of 8 for his striking chess skills. He beat 73 opponents and clinched the New York State Chess Championship for his division. At the time, in 2019, he was living with his family in a homeless shelter while he was winning all of these contests. Jeez. As an 8-year-old, because his family had moved to New York from Nigeria in 2017 seeking religious asylum after his family, who is devoutly Christian, was threatened by the terrorist group Boko Haram and forced to flee the country. So at 10, he was named National Master, and his current title is it FIDE? FIDE Master, a prestigious designation awarded by the International Chess Governing Body. And now at 12, Tani and his family were just officially granted asylum in the United States.
I will watch this movie when it's made.
I know, right?
This
I think
will
there,
be,
there's some books already. Yeah, like when you Google his name, there's some. I mean, he's gotten a lot of press over time, but it's such a good story. Yeah. Congratulations to him and his family for finally getting asylum. I mean, that's such a long right. This is not even touching on the Title 42 things that are going on in the Supreme Court and how that's been extended and how many people are at the border and the mess that all is. But think about that. His family's been here since 2017 and has taken. Despite his success and his kind of media darling of this prodigy, 5 years in this like limbo status of they're not citizens, they haven't been granted asylum. Like that's how long it takes to try to go through this process.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, congratulations to them. That's such a great story. It's shocking. It blows my mind to think about a 10 or 12 year old being that smart. But also just a reminder of how long and painstakingly slow our immigration and asylum seeking processes are.
And that's, when I think about that process, which I know very little about, I will totally admit, but I just know it's long. It's heartbreakingly long. When people sit there and say things like, well, if these people just want to come into our country, do it. Why don't they just do it the right way? It's like, do you know how long the right way
takes?
And
how expensive.
How expensive and how easy. It's like they can do everything correct. They can fill out all the right paperwork, go to all the right locations, talk to all the right people. And then they can just at one point be like, nope, you're done. And you got to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into the discussion of the process of people coming here in non-law-abiding ways, but I understand it. They want to get away from terrible places and they want to come here because they feel like it's a better place. And that's great. Is there anything we can do to make it just a skosh easier, just a little bit easier for people? Or is the process supposed to be hard and long because people are like, well,
it's supposed to be a deterrent.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it also just feels like,
I don't
one
mean
of those,
to make this topic.
I know, this
depressing.
Was supposed to be a fun topic. but I do think that there's something we said as far as, both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, constantly running on fixing immigration, fixing immigration. There's constantly talks about how immigration can solve some of our declining population problems and our workforce problems. And that there is people, like you said, who want, like, why can't they just come legally? Well, the actual process of doing that legally, there's very few avenues that even allow you to do that. You basically have to seek asylum, have a family member sponsor you, get married, although that might be considered the same bucket. Have your work sponsor you or in school. And I think that's it.
And I think
so. You can't just come here.
And I'm wondering if I'm not saying the kid didn't earn these titles. I'm never saying that. The kid is 50 miles smarter than I am. But I'm wondering if the chess community came together and said, we need to do everything we can for him to put in the paperwork. He is a viable citizen. He's a viable person to allow to stay in your country because of these things. It's he can do great things. He's inspired. I don't know.
Like maybe they helped them navigate the system.
Yeah, exactly. And if they did, awesome. And that's where we can say like, that's the happiness of it. I feel like when a story has Boko Haram in it, it's not always so happy. So, no.
Well, and if you're looking for some inspiration, just go on Google or YouTube and Google chess kids. There are videos from some of these chess tournaments where they're playing multiple people at the same. It's remarkable. It's honestly, it's remarkable. You will be so impressed and so excited for these kids.
Do you think you're just born that way?
Yes.
I think your brain's wired that way.
Yes.
Because I think your brain is wired not so much to be like, you will be great at chess. I think your brain is wired in a way that you have, because you can be good at chess, but it's like any other, it's like we were talking about this before, sport versus, you know, competition, that kind of thing. It's like any other sport, if you will, where you have to learn and study and get into it and like read all the old matches. You can't just, you're not just good one day.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Brett Poliquin, Director of Development and Marketing of Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha County, is going to be here. Stay around.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage
WFHR,
denim
jacket. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5